This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday the 13th, June 13th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll have a story about why people are starting to think about the succession of Barack Obama. What happens if he becomes president and Illinois needs to pick a new senator? We'll also get a weekend forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Keezer. It includes the chance of flooding again. First, a look at today's news. A consulting firm could advise on the future of Champaign County's financially strapped nursing home. But it won't be clear until next week exactly what role Management Performance Associates will play. AM 580's Jeff Bossert explains.
Three members of the county's nursing home board of directors will spend the weekend examining two proposed contracts from MPA. One calls for the firm to simply consult on the home. The other would manage the facility. On Monday, the nursing home group could endorse one or both and forward its decision to the county board. MPA's operational audit shows how the escalating cost of contract nurses played a role in the home's deficit, as well as how a poor payer mix of Medicaid and Medicare residents has contributed. During a conference call with the nursing home board, member Jason Hirschbrunner told MPA President Mike Scavato that the audit only showed a list of problems without a roadmap for solving them.
My question to you is that the reports didn't seem to offer any solutions. They just spelled out what was obvious, what was painfully obvious. I want to know, do you have those solutions that, of course, understandably, if you have that bag of tricks that you were wanting us to purchase, I agree, but I want to know that bag of tricks is there.
Hirschbrunner is opposed to the management contract. It costs $180,000 annually for 3 years and would mean the MPA hires the nursing home's administrator, Andrew Buffenbarger. Board member Mary Ellen O'Shaughnessy likes that move, saying the administration at the home is thin and would take some load off his shoulders. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
Illinois' Department of Human Services has a wide range of duties. It's in charge of everything from food stamps to running state facilities for individuals who have mental illness. A new audit finds problems within the department are just as widespread. Amanda Vinicky has more.
During a walkthrough of the department, auditors say they found personal information like social security numbers in trash cans. Strike one for the improper disposal of confidential information. DHS did buy a batch of high-capacity shredders at a cost of more than $200,000, but more than half still haven't been installed. Strike two for inefficient use of state resources. In all, there were 85 strikes or findings at DHS in the audit. There are also instances of information missing from patient files at state mental health facilities, fire code violations, and a host of accounting problems. DHS spokesman Tom Green says the department is working to get things going in the right direction.
Many of these findings, you know, are not of a failure to provide services to the people who need our important services. It's findings, you know, that certain paperwork things haven't been filled out.
However, Illinois' Auditor General counters that many of the problems have persisted from the past. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
A guilty plea will mean 30 days jail for a former Monticello High School student charged with scrawling a threat against her school on a bathroom mirror. That incident happened the day after the massacre at Virginia Tech. 19-year-old Josephine Pierce pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor count of disorderly conduct. In exchange for dropping the other charges, Pierce is scheduled to surrender today for her jail sentence. She's also been ordered to serve a year's probation and pay restitution to the school. Caterpillar is making a big investment in its plants in Illinois, including one in Decatur. Jonathan All reports.
The company announced it will spend $1 billion to upgrade the facilities in East Peoria, Decatur, Aurora, and Joliet. Caterpillar Group President Doug Oberhelman says the company's struggling to meet demand for many products made in Illinois and says this move will help solve that problem. Oberhelman also says there should be a big impact on the state's economy.
This will force and enable a lot of our suppliers in Illinois to invest as well. They see a long-term future with us. They know we're going to be here. They're going to upgrade. So the spillover effect into our communities ought to be very, very huge, and maybe a multiple of that $1 billion when it's all said and done. It's hard to say.
Oberhelman says the other goals are efficiency and modernization. He says it's unclear what impact the upgrade will have on employment levels at the plants. I'm Jonathan All.
While flooding continues to cause problems on many Illinois rivers, the floodwaters have receded on the Middle Fork of the Vermilion River. The state's Department of Natural Resources now has reopened the Middle Fork for the public 7 days after they closed it. That's good news to Tracy Satterthwaite at Kickapoo Landing, which rents canoes and kayaks on the Middle Fork in the Kickapoo State Park area. Satterthwaite says the water had reached dangerously high levels.
Well, the water this last time got up to about 11 feet. We had generally run the river only up to 4.5 feet. And only adults and experienced paddlers between 3.5 and 4.5 feet. So 11 feet is extremely high.
Satterthwaite says the water on the Middle Fork is now down to 3 feet. She says that's still on the high side, but a level that's ideal for floating the river. Meanwhile, Chris McLeod of the State Department of Natural Resources says the public should still exercise caution if they go boating on the Middle Fork. Steve Mailhorn has been watching a plant give off a single 20-foot leaf for the past 6 years. Well, now that plant is about to give off a rare flower. Mailhorn is the manager of the greenhouse at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. He says the flower could be 10 feet tall. The Titan arum will give off the scent of rotting meat. Because of that, it's also called the corpse flower. Mailhorn says he's felt extra pressure to take care of the endangered plant from the island of Sumatra.
I'm bouncing off the walls, as you can imagine, and I hope I don't kill it with kindness. That's the problem with growing plants is the most frequent cause of plant death is overwatering.
The size and smell of the Titan arum aren't the only things that make the plant unusual. It's a tuber, but the roots come out the top of the tube and not the bottom. The rotting smell of the plant attracts flies that pollinate it. Mailhorn expects thousands of people to come visit the plant in the 5 days that it's blooming in a week or two. He says if they don't see it this time, they'll have to wait another 3 years before it blossoms again. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. When Illinois Senator Barack Obama clinched the Democratic presidential nomination last week, the possibility of his election in November became more immediate than ever. In his home state, that put new heat on a question that's been simmering for months, one that seems to be getting more and more complicated, as Illinois Public Radio's Ben Calhoun reports.
For people who follow Illinois politics, it was fodder for speculation as early as last winter.
Well, it was one of those things where as Obama's nomination became increasingly likely, people started asking me and each other, well, who's going to be our senator for the last 2 years of his term if he's elected president?
Chicago Tribune columnist Eric Zorn was one of the first people to kick the question around in public, which he did back in February. He started with the rules for filling such a vacancy.
Turns out that the procedure is different in every state.
In this state, turns out the decision would go to a single official, Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich.
So our governor, who doesn't get along with very many people anymore, Democratic governor, if Obama's elected president, gets to select the next senator.
Zorn said earlier, and it's remained true, there isn't an obvious choice here, and there are a lot of feasible scenarios.
You know, will he pick an ally, which is clearly the first thing you think, or will he pick one of his political foes, one of his challengers inside the Democratic Party, someone he wants to get rid of? Also a possibility, and a third possibility, which people have been buzzing about a little bit, is will he pick himself?
Zorn called insiders and politicians to come up with names that would fit those scenarios. Some of the possibilities were pretty obvious. Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr., Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan, Illinois Comptroller Dan Hines. Some were less obvious, like Veterans Affairs Chief Tammy Duckworth. Altogether, the short list swelled to a dozen, and you could argue it's even grown since then. With so many names, speculation is obviously complicated, and it's only seemed to get more unclear as people have continued to discuss it. One complicating factor is that it can be considered a little gauche for politicians to go after an ally's job while he's still in it. Those who are interested don't want to be counted out, but it's tacky to appear too eager.
To me, it looks a lot like the vice presidential jockeying that goes on. When you get these men and women on the Sunday talk shows, and the host will say, well, do you want to be vice president? And they'll say, oh, well, gosh, it's the last thing from my mind, but of course if I were asked. And, you know, these people are names on everybody's short list. I think you had Jan Schakowsky recently say,
well, you know, I have announced my interest, but that's really about as far as I'm going now.
In April, on a Sunday morning talk show, Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky of Illinois became the first person to openly express interest. But as a national co-chair of Obama's campaign, Schakowsky's been careful and savvy.
Truthfully, Ben, I'm really not thinking about the Senate so much, or certainly not implementing anything. I think it still is untimely and unseemly right now to be focusing on that because we need to get Barack Obama elected.
But even if good manners push it behind closed doors, it's safe to assume there's been plenty of maneuvering going on for months, which leads to another layer of complication. Even if the decision is the governor's, a potential vacancy of this magnitude means the biggest players in Illinois politics have an interest in who gets picked.
I hope he ends up picking a person that can work with me, because that will make life a lot more pleasant in the Senate.
Illinois' senior senator and Democratic Majority Whip Dick Durbin has an obvious stake in the decision.
I have feelings about it, but I've not been approached by the governor or any of his people to come up with names. I hope that if he thinks it's appropriate at some point, that he will consult with me about his choice.
Besides Durbin, it's relatively safe to assume Chicago Mayor Richard Daley, Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan, and State Senate President Emil Jones have their own ideas, too. As if that's not complicated enough, you've also got to think about Blagojevich's own situation.
In effect, the legal problems that he has or may be having in the near future are the elephant in the room that cannot be avoided.
Loyola University political scientist Alan Gittleson is talking about the federal investigation pointed at Blagojevich's administration. That investigation has been going on for years, and earlier this month, Blagojevich's friend, fundraiser, and advisor, Tony Rezko, was convicted on corruption charges. While Blagojevich has not been charged with any crime, speculation is greater than ever that the governor might be indicted or impeached.
If the consequences of recent judicial action suggest that his governancy is in trouble, or that he himself is in trouble, then indeed the picture changes, the calculus changes significantly.
Blagojevich's uncertain future is just another reason that the speculation game around a potential Obama Senate vacancy is dicey. For his part, the governor is hanging back. A spokesperson for Blagojevich says it's, quote, way too premature to even talk about replacing Obama, which leaves the door open for even more speculation. I'm Ben Calhoun.
The forecast for today and the weekend is going to start with more rain. A flash flood watch is in effect for northwest Illinois through this afternoon. For north central, northeast, all of central and neighboring portions of southern Illinois and extreme northwest Indiana through Friday evening. And for all of central and neighboring portions of southern Indiana from this afternoon through late tonight. Mostly cloudy today with showers and thunderstorms across the two states. Locally heavy rainfall is possible in northern and central sections especially. The highs from 77 in northwest Illinois to 88 in the south. Champaign-Urbana's high 82 degrees with periods of rain and thunderstorms. For tonight, partly cloudy in northern Illinois. In northern Indiana and central sections, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy overnight. In the south, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms. The lows tonight from 58 in far northern Illinois to 68 in the far south, 62 in Champaign-Urbana, with a chance of showers and thunderstorms during the evening hours and partially clearing overnight after midnight. For tomorrow, in the far south, maybe a few showers early, then partly sunny, but partly to mostly sunny throughout the entire Saturday, and highs from 80 in the far north to 87 in the south, 84 in Champaign-Urbana. Sunday, sunny and a high of 87. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, June 13th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.